Jesus, we do love you and praise you. We thank you that your love flows through us. We thank you that your love resides in us, that we have your love inside of us because your Spirit dwells inside of us. We thank you and praise you for that love. And it is our desire that we do move forward with you in that love. So that love doesn't just stay stagnant in us, but that love pours out of us and it touches even those who by the world's standards are unlovable. That we love them with your love. And your love shining through us, your love powerfully moving through us, changes, brings results in this world to change the world. We are the agents that you use, so flow through us. Flow through each one of us. We invite and want and desire your love to be what is exemplified through us. For we give you the praise and the honor for it. We rejoice in you. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Before we get started, would you guys mind joining me in prayer for someone that you guys don't even know? Good. There's a woman that doesn't come here, but it's a woman that I know. And a few of us, just because we were inspired by the Holy Spirit to do this, a few of us have just agreed that we would this week, each of us, speak words of freedom and deliverance over her. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit's laid upon our hearts. So I know that the Holy Spirit is doing something and ready to do something in this woman's life. So you don't know her, but the love of Jesus Christ in us, let's pray together for her, all right? Lord, I just lift up this woman and you know exactly who she is. And I thank you for your love for her, your love which she is not understanding. She's not walking in. We just agree together and speak that all of the deceptions, that all of the lies that she's allowed into her life, that all of those lies are removed, that every one of those lies and deceptions from the enemy is exposed to her as a lie so that she can see and realize and understand the truth of your love and the freedom and the deliverance that you have for her. So we lift her up and we come against the depression, we come against all the emotions that take her away from you and your love. We rebuke all of those things that she, through you, is able to look and to see and to receive and understand the fullness of your love. That all of those chains are broken by you. We praise you and thank you for it. Thank you for your love for her. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for praying with me on that. That's the heart of Jesus, though. He does care about us individually. In fact, what I want to talk about today, because it is Valentine's Day, anybody here bold enough to admit that you forgot it's Valentine's Day? Because I can have everybody close their eyes and bow their heads, and you can sneak out and take care of business. I'm not going to get back in, but I can do that. Everyone's good? Well, today is Valentine's Day, so there is going to be a lot of cards and flowers and chocolates and such things being exchanged, because Valentine's Day is about love. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, love. But with this understanding, I want us to understand that there's two kinds of love. There is man's love, the world's kind of love, and there's God's love. Now, as a statement, that might seem, oh, that's pretty self-evident. But I want you to see the impact of the difference, because a lot of times we live not really understanding or knowing, but too many times we live in the love of the world. We operate in man's love as opposed to God's love. There's God's love and there's man's love. One love is real. Can you guess which one? And one love is false. It's an illusion. I would even use this word, and I chose this word carefully. It is a deception. Because man's love, the love of the world, man's love is just like Valentine's Day itself. It targets the love only towards those that we feel love for. See, the reality is that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we do have the love of Jesus Christ already in us. So the expectation is that you and I are going to operate in that love. We're going to share that love with everyone, not just with those that we choose to share the love with. Listen to what Jesus said about love. This is from John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment, this is Jesus' own words, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus is commanding us to love one another, not with the world's love, not with just any. He's commanding us to love one another in His love. That can't be done with cards and flowers. This is a test that we have every single day. It's not God testing us. This is our test for ourselves. Our test every day is at the end of the day to ask ourselves, did I love, because there's people you came across, did I love the people I came across? Did I love my spouse? Did I love my children? Did I love my parents? Did I love my extended family? Did I love my coworkers? Did I love the strangers that Jesus just brought across my path? Did I love them with God's kind of love, or instead did they see from me simply man's kind of love? We are commanded to love with God's kind of love. You know, until we ourselves experience the love of Jesus Christ, until we experience that ourselves, we will always wind up being frustrated with life and frustrated in love. Let me say that again because I want that to sink in. Until we ourselves experience and operate in the love of Jesus Christ, we will always be frustrated in this life. And we will surely be frustrated in love. Because man's love, the world's kind of love, man's love alone can never satisfy the deep abiding need that every creation of Christ, every man and woman has for unconditional love. And that's not man's love. Unconditional love can only be experienced. Unconditional love can only be found in Jesus Christ. We use the word love very casually in everyday conversation. And so the meaning of love gets really muddied to us. We express love very easily. But just because we express love doesn't mean that we understand it or have even truly walked in and possessed it. There's only one kind of love that matters. The only love that matters is Jesus' love, and that is in you. The only love that matters is His kind of love. Everything else and anything else is a corruption that detracts from His amazing love that is already poured out and invested in you. If I'm not operating in Jesus' love, the best thing I can offer you is an artificial substitute that will never be satisfying to you or to me. I cannot give you what I do not have. If I'm not operating in the love of Jesus Christ that is in me, if I'm not operating in that love, I can't give you what you need. And I'm not going to be satisfied myself. Because man's love will never fulfill those needs. Let me give you an example just from life. Just this week, every Monday through Friday, I do a program on Yes FM. It's called The Prayer Closet. At the very end, I pray for all the prayer requests that have come in. So just one day this week, on Tuesday, just one day this week, Tuesday, I had three prayer requests. Alice brought me two, and there was one that came in from the internet. I had three prayer requests on one day just for Christian marriages. See, this is common even in the body of Christ. We don't understand and operate in the love of Jesus Christ. The fact that three Christian marriages were praying because they were in struggles or they were in trouble. Listen, if a spouse doesn't have and is not operating in the love of Jesus Christ, they have nothing to offer to their mate except for the forgery of love that the world has and the world offers. And that is always going to fail. It's always going to fail. Here's the good news, though. The good news is that the love of Jesus Christ is already in us. Because if we've accepted, every single person that's accepted the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, Every person who's accepted the sacrificial love, the love of Jesus is in us. Now, you might say to yourself, not out loud, probably to yourself, but you might say to yourself, yeah, but I'm not really experiencing that. I don't really feel that kind of unconditional love for those around me. Well, take heart, because that love is in you. We just have to let that be the love that flows through us, and we'll talk about how to do that. That love is in you, and if you question if that love is in you, I can put that to rest right now, because it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, one of the fruits of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. Look at it. Galatians 5, 22. This is talking about love. The fruit, the evidence, the results of love, the results of the Spirit being in us is the first thing it mentions. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The love of Jesus Christ Himself is in you because His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is in you. The result of the Holy Spirit being in you is the love of Jesus Christ Himself is in you because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, with that verse in mind, I love this definition. You guys know I love definitions. I got a couple of really good definitions today. So when we see here that says the fruit of the Spirit is love, the word fruit right there, I love this definition. I can't remember if I got this from Thayer or from Strong's, but one of them, in this context, the word fruit means this. It means the result. The result is nothing more than the conclusion. It's the end product. It's the fruit. So the result of two lives streaming. What are the two lives that are streaming? You and Jesus Christ. The result of two lives streaming together. Jesus living His life through you to yield eternal results. That's awesome. The result of two lives streaming together, you and Jesus, the result of those two lives streaming together is Jesus living His life through you to yield eternal results. That means the love of Jesus that I allow to come through me is going to change and affect the lives of the people that are receiving that love through me. That is awesome. You guys should be more excited than that. That is awesome. I love that. Listen, His love for you is ready to stream through you to bring eternal results in the lives of other people. Like that woman we just prayed for. You don't even know her. But if you would pray for her from the love of Jesus Christ that is in you, this is saying that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and that fruit means that love that flows through you, Jesus can move through your giving yourself to that love to bring changes into that woman's life who you don't even know. That is the power of the love of Jesus Christ. Today's Valentine's Day. You know what? I love Donna. But my love for Donna is accentuated because of the love of Jesus Christ that is in me that Jesus has for her. That's what she needs to receive. That's not what Valentine's Day teaches us or tells us. Let's do a little bit of review so we get a better understanding of this. This is a concept that I've gone over several times in the last year and a half, but I want to remind us again so we're on the same page. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I said that that flows through us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are made up of three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. Now, we can easily understand the body. That's this. This is our body. This is the flesh. This is what ties us to this natural world. And it's this flesh which also hides from us. It blinds us to the things of the spiritual realm, which are still a reality. So, this is the flesh, our soul. Our soul is our mind, it's our personality, it's our intellect, it's our thoughts, it's our emotions. It's the unique, eternal creation that is you. But for our purposes today, there's one other element that's really important. Our soul is also our will. It's where we make our choices. It's our will. So that's our body, our soul. Our spirit is what was dead when we were dead in sin. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our spirits were made alive. That's why the Bible says you're a new creation in Jesus, because your spirit, which had been dead, is now alive in Jesus Christ. And because your spirit is alive in Jesus Christ, what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit of God Himself, His Spirit dwells in your spirit. So because His Spirit dwells in your spirit, because His Spirit dwells in your spirit, you are tied always. You are tied directly to the presence of God always, whether you see it or not. That is a truth and it's a fact. Now our soul is like the door. The soul is the door. It determines the direction of the flow through our lives. The soul is our will. It's where we make the choice. So our soul determines whether I'm going to allow the spirit and the things of the spiritual realm to flow through me, from my spirit, through my soul, out through my body to affect change in this natural world. Or my soul can close the door to the spiritual realm, disbelieve those spiritual things, and believe the things of the natural. And what's going to happen is, if my soul believes the things of the natural, I'm going to get the natural. I'm going to get natural results. Natural results are this: disappointment, frustration, and failure. Those are the things of the natural. See, the choice is mine. That's the soul. The choice is mine. It's the door that determines which direction of flow is going to come through me and what results are going to take place. So I can choose in my soul to allow the things of the Spirit to flow through me. And if I make that choice, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, His love will flow through me. It's a choice that I get to make. Now, to help us understand that, let's look at the book of Ephesians. Man, I have missed preaching and sharing the Word of God with you guys. I think I had like 15 minutes 2 weeks ago. Tim did a great job yesterday. I love his word, and I love the way he teaches. The week before, I only had just 15 minutes. The week before that, I was in Israel. I've missed sharing the word with you guys. So pardon me for being really excited. This is Ephesians. What we're going to do is look at Ephesians. The very last two verses in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And then we're going to look at the first two verses of chapter 5. So Ephesians, you go past all the Gospels. Go past Acts, go past Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Then you get to the epistles. So you have Galatians and then Ephesians. So in Ephesians chapter 4, looking at these last two verses, 31 and 32, and then the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Listen, on these verses, I will tell you that for me, if you can pull back up verse number 31, all of these verses, it starts right here with this very first word. This is the key to understanding or unlocking all four of those verses. The word is let. Anytime I see in the word, this is a good thing for you to just remember as you're studying the word. Anytime I see the word let in the Bible, that tells me I have a choice. I can either let one thing happen or I can let another thing happen. I can either let my choice. I can let this happen or I can let that happen. This is telling me that I have a choice. So in my soul, in my will, if in my soul and my will I choose to let the Spirit flow through me, that means, in effect, I am allowing the love of Jesus Christ to flow through me, whether I feel it or not. See, we go by feelings an awful lot. You have to know. You have to know. We'll talk about this in a few minutes. You have to know that the love of Jesus Christ is in you. And if you choose, if you let His love be, you let the Spirit flow through you, His love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, is going to flow through you. It's going to stream through you, and that means that Jesus will touch the lives of those around you because His love will have an experience for them. It's the choice that we have to make. You know, one of the things that my pastor's pastor, one of the quotes Moses Vey made, I only heard him say it once, but I never forgot it. That's how powerful it was to me. He's talking about the same thing. He's talking about the love of God. And he said, love is when you love someone even when they are unlovable. What he's saying is, The love of God is a choice. And the love of God is in you. So what am I going to let come through me? Because I can let bitterness, anger, and wrath, I can let that emanate from me. But I'll tell you what, all three of those emotions are a result of man's love, the world's love, not God's love. If I'm operating only in man's love, the end result is there's going to be anger, there's going to be bitterness, and if I let it go unchecked, there will eventually be wrath. That is the results of man's love as opposed to God's love. See, instead, I, in my will, I can choose to let. I get a choice. I can choose to let his love go through because both are in me. Man's love and God's love are both in me. One is of the spirit, one is of the flesh. I get to choose which one. I get to choose what comes out of me. I want his love joined together. I want the two lives streaming together with his love, having power as it comes through me. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm sure you have, somebody that is married, that is having trouble in their marriage or is getting a divorce or wants a divorce or has left their spouse, ever heard somebody say, I just don't love them anymore? Now listen, let me preface by saying this. If you've ever been divorced, listen, don't feel bad about that because that's in the past. We operate in where we are now and in the love of Jesus Christ for now. But it's still important for us to understand this concept because even if you're remarried the second time, this is true for you. And even if you're getting married, this is true for you. This is a true statement that we need to understand. If somebody says, well, I just don't love them anymore, that's your choice. That is your choice. Don't expect God to line up behind that. Because God's not standing back saying, yeah, that guy really is a jerk. I don't blame you. I don't love him either. No, God loves that person. God loves him or her. God loves that person. And the love of God is in you. That means his love for that person is in you. It's your choice. You get to choose at that moment. Are you going to choose man's love, natural love, or are you going to choose God's love? The choice comes down to us. I would even say this. When I first started dating Donna, and even when we got married, I loved Donna passionately, but I will tell you that when we were first young, the love that I had was just natural love. It was man's love. It's not until I learned to operate and let the love of Jesus that is in me stream together with me and flow through me. It's my love for Donna, but it's his love for Donna joined together with me and through me to her. This is when Donna begins to blossom. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the love of Jesus Christ for her that I'm allowing to come through me. And the exact same thing is true for me from Donna. I didn't start to blossom until Donna was able to love me. I've always known that Donna loved me, but it's when Donna loved me with the love of Jesus Christ, streaming together with her love, that's when I begin to blossom. We have power and ability to affect other people's lives and who they can be and should be in Jesus Christ. All right, so we were in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. I want to look at those first two verses in chapter 5 again. So Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2. But I want to look at those verses from the Amplified Bible. In the Amplified Bible it says, therefore be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father. You are well-beloved children. We need to imitate our father. And walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. Are we esteeming? Are we delighting in one another? Not just the people who love us, but everybody that God brings across our path. That's what he's telling us to do. That's the love of God that is in us. Esteeming and delighting in one another. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a stain offering and a sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. When it talks here, it's saying that I need to imitate the love of Jesus Christ. I need to copy the love of Jesus Christ in my walk of love. Now, when it's talking about my walk of love, here comes the definition again. When it's talking about my walk of love, my love, in that word, in that phrase, in that context, this is what love means. My walk of love means love that is given, seeking the best for the recipient of the love. So if I am imitating Jesus Christ and I'm copying him in my walk of love, that means my love is not seeking what's best for me. My love is seeking what's best for the recipient of my love. That's the love that we're supposed to imitate, and that's the love that is in us because his love is in us. In fact, if you go a little bit further in verse number 2, you see love again. Love is mentioned again in verse number 2, but this time it's talking about Jesus' love for us. And again, definition is important. When you look at the definition of the word love, in that context, right there in that phrase, talking about Jesus' love, what it's saying is two things. The first thing doesn't really apply to what we're saying, but I just love the image of us. It is his attachment, his personal attachment of love to you. His personal attachment to you. But here's the part that's really relevant. Here's the part that's relevant for us today. It also means it is his will, his choice to love you. Because Jesus chose to love you. And you accepted that love? His love dwells in you. And because he chose to love you and his love dwells within you, you and I can make the choice to then love others with that love. That's all good, but guess what? It goes on. The next thing we see in that verse, verse number 2, it shows us that Jesus' love is both giving and sacrificial. His love is a giving love, and it's a sacrificial love. That's the love that is in you and I. It's giving and sacrificial. Makes sense? For God so loved the world, and he what? He gave. He didn't just give. He gave sacrificially. He gave his own son. The love of Jesus Christ that dwells in you and I is a giving love, and it's a sacrificial love. It's a giving love and it's a sacrificial love. And when we operate in that giving and sacrificial love, we become a sweet aroma. Our lives become a sweet fragrance to Jesus Christ that no Valentine's Day flowers can ever match. This is the love of Jesus that is in us, and this is the love that we are to operate in and let flow from us. Now, I want to give you an example of this. I want to give you a historical example of this. Because I want you to see in a man this kind of example of this kind of love. It's the love that is giving and sacrificial. And it's in us as believers in Jesus Christ. I've got a friend that I meet with occasionally. His name is Jeff Milslegel. He works at TV 40. And he and I both love history. And I told him a few weeks ago, I said, I want to write a book that's called My Heroes. And I want to highlight the 10 men or women that either historically or in my life directly have inspired me, encouraged me, and impacted me. Because they've impacted my life by their example, and I want to write about that so others can read about and be inspired too. And I said to him, who are the 10 people in your life that would be? Well, he surprised me. Like the next week, he had this all written out for me. So I do have my 10 people, and if you know me well, you know that you wouldn't be surprised. George Washington, Michelangelo, Christopher Columbus, John the Apostle. These are the first four that come to my mind. But number 10 on my list, probably nobody here in this room has ever heard of except for Donna and Tony because he had to find the pictures. Has anybody ever heard of Edward Coles? It's not Edwin Coles, who was a Christian writer. This is Edward Coles. He lived in the late 1700s. Anybody heard of him? Edward Coles is a hero of mine. And when you see the example of Christ-like love that he lived, I think he'll be a hero of yours too. Because he shows us what it is to live that love of Jesus Christ. Edward Coles is a man, he was born right about the conclusion of the American Revolution. So he was born, I think, in like 1780. He grew up as a neighbor of Thomas Jefferson. So Edward Coles' father was a close friend of Thomas Jefferson. Edward Coles grew up having all kinds of access to and conversations with Thomas Jefferson. Now, as we go forward, Thomas Jefferson eventually becomes the president of the United States. But Thomas Jefferson, if you know Thomas Jefferson, he's one of the great founders of our country. One of the other great founders is John Adams. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, they were both, we know Thomas Jefferson as the author of the Declaration of Independence. But John Adams was also on that committee. So they both had a part in the Declaration of Independence. These were fast friends. They were friends politically, and they were friends personally. John Adams became the second president of the United States. He was elected in 1796. But he only served one term, and he was beaten out by Thomas Jefferson, his friend. If you ever want to study a fascinating election, the election of 1800 is the most astounding and amazing election. It's fascinating. But the end result of it was there was a lot of things that were said in the press from Thomas Jefferson's camp about John Adams and vice versa. And the end result was when Thomas Jefferson beat John Adams, there was acrimony between those two men. And that friendship that had been for 20 years was gone, dissolved. For a decade, those two men would not talk to each other. Now, Edward Coles, being a man that had a passion for and a friendship with Thomas Jefferson, he also had the advantage of being the personal secretary of James Madison, who at the time was the president, and he knew John Adams. Because he cared about Adams and Jefferson, he took it upon himself to be the interceder, to be the one that would help reestablish that relationship. So he sat down with Thomas Jefferson, and he talked about all the things that took place. And Thomas Jefferson gave his explanations. He gave his attitudes. He talked about some of the things that he thought were misunderstood. Edward Coles, and this is in 1811 is when this happened. In 1811, he had that conversation, and then Edward Coles traveled all the way up to Massachusetts to sit down with John Adams and talk to John Adams. And he asked John Adams about what he was heard about. And then he gave John Adams basically all the responses in the heart of Thomas Jefferson. And it's opened up John Adams' heart. And as a result of this, shortly after that meeting, John Adams wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "It's time for us to explain each other to one another." And that began a series of letters that lasted for the rest of those two men's life. And their friendship was restored. In fact, one of the great historical documentation that we have is the letters between Jefferson and Adams. They're fabulous. Their friendship was restored because of the work of Edward Coles. Now, let's go back. That's not even the good part of Edward Coles. That shows you the love and compassion. But I said that to tell you what happens next in his life. So that happened in 1811. In 1814, just 3 years after he did that for Jefferson and Adams, he was facing his own personal crisis. And he sought out and asked for help from Thomas Jefferson. Here's what happened to him. He's living in Virginia. Basically, everybody in Virginia is a slave owner. His father died and left Edward Coles all of his property and all of his land, including 23 slaves. Edward Coles was a man that, he was a Christian man, and he believed the word. And he believed that the United States was to become a kind of a new Jerusalem. But he felt like the United States had a stain upon it because of slavery. He felt slavery was clearly unjust to the slaves, but he also thought it was a corrupting force on the slave owners. And he could not stand owning slaves. But now he's in a predicament because now he owns 23 slaves. What's his problem? Well, he can't just sell his slaves. Because if he sells his slaves, more than likely they're going to wind up in a worse situation with an owner who doesn't have empathy and compassion for them like he does. And he can't just set them free. Because according to Virginia law at the time, if you set a slave free in Virginia, that slave, within 1 year's time, that slave cannot live within the borders of the state of Virginia. So as people would set slaves free, what would happen is after a year, they'd be cut off from all their family, from any support structure, from everything they know. And time after time, they would live in starvation, in near death or death. So out of compassion, he could make himself feel good and just give them freedom, but he knows the end result for them is probably death. So what is he going to do? So he sought out Jefferson because he knew that Jefferson also despised the institution of slavery. And he knew that Jefferson's name still had a lot of gravitas, even though he's an older man. And he said to Thomas Jefferson, "This is my quandary. I don't know what to do, but I'm asking you to help. I want you to help me. Put your name and your efforts behind mine. Let's abolish slavery in the state of Virginia." And Thomas Jefferson wrote back, and he said how much he admired Coles's heart and his head. But he said, "I've been in politics. I've talked to a lot of people. This is what I believe. This generation of Virginians is not ready. They will not turn over abortion. Slavery. It's pretty much the same thing." He said, "This generation is not ready for that. It's the battle for a younger man like you. You need to change the hearts of the next generation." Now, while that made sense, and that was probably wisdom, Edward Coles, to his credit, would not accept that. So that was the world's wisdom, and that would make sense. But Coles would not accept it because he knew that it was an abomination in the eyes of God. So he wrote another letter to Jefferson. Now, this is bold. He wrote another letter to Thomas Jefferson, who's the former president, and he basically told him, that's not an acceptable answer. You have a responsibility. You must take action. Now, we don't know. History doesn't show us if Thomas Jefferson responded or not. If he did, it was lost to history. But Edward Coles still had his problem. He couldn't sell them, and he couldn't set them free. So what is he to do? This is a man that has an example of the love of Jesus Christ in him. The only thing that he could do was to move out of the state of Virginia. So he sold all of his inheritance. He left his extended family, his friends, his support structure, everything he knew. Generations of Coles had been established there in Virginia. He left it all. And he took his 23 slaves with him. And he was making his way west to Illinois. Now, he didn't tell his slaves what his intentions were. But when they were on the river, and Tony, you can put this picture up. When they were on the river, they're on the Ohio River. They were days on the Ohio River in these flat boats, flat-bottom boats. And one morning, as soon as the sun came up, he woke up all 23 of his slaves. And he said to them, today, you are free men and women. You can do whatever you want. If you want, I will pull these rafts over. You can get off, you can leave, and you can do whatever you want. You are free. However, if you stay with me a little further, let me take you to Illinois, and I will buy each one of you land and property so that you can establish your lives and live respectably as free men and women. All 23 of those slaves stayed with Edward Coles. He took them all to Illinois, and using the money from his inheritance, all the generations of Coles had built up, he used that money to buy land and property for every one of those slaves, and he established them, and he prepared them to live lives of dignity as free men and women. That is a sacrificial love. That is a love that is giving. That is a sacrificial love. That's why Edward Coles is a hero of mine. This is the kind of love that Jesus expects us to operate in. Not just with our spouses, but with everybody that we come in contact with. This is the kind of love that we are supposed to live and exemplify. That's giving and sacrifice. That's the love of Jesus Christ. And that is the love that is in you. It's in you. I got to make the choice to let that be the love that flows through me, that streams with me and through me. Now let's go back to man's love for just a second. Because in the world's vernacular, the world says that when two people fall in love, they make a love connection, right? Let me tell you, that is not the love connection. I will tell you what the love connection is. This is the love connection. It's the connection between love and faith. Have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible the word love is connected to the word faith? I just looked in the New Testament, and I'm not even counting the times that those two words are in the same verse. There's 16 times in the New Testament I found where the word love is directly connected to the word faith. Love and faith. That is the love connection. That is the powerful connection. Let me give you an example of that. Stay in Ephesians. We're going to go back a few chapters. This is Ephesians chapter 3. Let's look at verses 16, 17, and 18. The love connection. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. It's talking about his love and the person of God. Do you see the connection between love and faith? There's a connection between love and faith. And it says that his love is in the inner man. That's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you. His love is in your spirit now. His love is in your spirit. And so when your soul opens the door, If my soul opens the door to the Spirit, to His love that's in me, guess what? He streams together. He streams with me and through me. His love to touch the lives of others. That is what you need to know. You need to know. That's the faith part. You need to know. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, you need to know His love is in you and is for you. Because if you will believe that His love is in you and for you, and He will stream His love through you, if you believe that, then you will begin to understand. Then you'll begin to learn. Then you'll begin to experience the deeper realities of the love of Jesus Christ yourself. You'll get the depth, the height, the length, the width of His love. You will come to know His love is in you and for you. And when you know that, then you can let that love flow through you to change and impact the lives of the people around you. Whether it's your spouse, your friends, people you know, or just strangers that He brings across your path. That's the truth of Jesus Christ, and that's the love. Here is, with that understanding, the connection, the love connection between love and faith. With that understanding, here's the best biblical example of that. It's the example of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. Because Abraham is giving that which is most dear to him, his son Isaac. But he's giving and sacrificing his son Isaac with this understanding. He understands. And he knows and he puts his trust in the fact that God has promised him that his heritage is coming, Abraham's heritage is coming through Isaac, coming through that man. Now listen to God's response to that action of, what is it? That's an action that is a connection of love and faith. Because this is faith in the love of God. His faith is being demonstrated. Now listen to God's response. Go to James, towards the end of your Bible. James chapter 2, verse number 23. And I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified Bible. James 2:23. Is that what I said? Well, that's what it is. Whatever I said, it's James 2:23. In the Amplified, it says, "And so the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed." Abraham believed. That is the faith and love together. Abraham believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God. And this was accounted to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will in thought and deed. And he was called God's friend. Look at that last word, friend. Here's my final definition this morning. This word friend, if you read this verse in the Greek, the word friend would say phileo. Phileo is one of the words that the Bible uses for love. And in this instance, in this context, in this verse, this is what that definition says. It says, God calls a man his friend when that man adopts the will and the interests of God as his own. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son, just as God would do himself with his son, Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. When you have faith in the love of Jesus Christ that is in you, when you have faith, this is the connection, when you have faith of the love of Jesus Christ that is in you, you can make any sacrifice for others. You can easily, when you have faith in the love of Jesus Christ that is in you, you can easily make any sacrifice for anyone else. That is the love connection. It's the connection between your faith in His love. Amen? Let me conclude with this. If you're not happy, or if you don't like the love that you're receiving from your spouse or from others, if you don't like it, what do? We usually tend to get frustrated with them and get frustrated with God, and then we withhold our love. That's what we do. That's the human response. If you're not happy with the love that's being given to you by your spouse or by others, don't complain and don't make demands. Because Jesus didn't wait for us to love Him before He loved us. He first loved us. In fact, according to Romans, He loved us while we were yet sinners. Receiving the love of Jesus Christ through you, will have a dynamic impact on the recipient of that love. Receiving the love of Jesus Christ through you will have an impact on the person who receives that love. It will inspire them to operate in that love of Jesus Christ instead of the forgery of the world's love. If you want to make a difference in someone, if you don't like the love you're getting, give the love of Jesus. Keep giving the love of Jesus. Don't withhold it and don't offer just man's love. You continue to give the love of Jesus. If you love them in Jesus Christ, it'll inspire them and change them, and you'll get that love back. It may not happen tomorrow, but if you're faithful to do that, that will be the result. That's the result of it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you and to teach you. This week even, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and to teach you the depths of His love for you. And then let that love flow through your spirit. It's already in there. Let it flow through your spirit, through your soul, to touch the world itself. Because the world will be impacted and changed by the love of Jesus Christ that comes through you. Here is the greatest Valentine's Day gift you can give. It is the love of Jesus Christ working, streaming together with you and through you. That will change the lives and impact those around you. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your love. And I know that each one of us, until the day I die, I will continue to learn about your love. I'll continue to have deeper understanding of your love. And I look forward to that challenge of every day learning more about your love. That is our desire. We want to know more about the height, the depth, the length, the width. We want to know more about the fullness of your love. We want to understand it and revel in it. Because as we revel in that love, it is going to be poured out of us to others. That is what we desire, and we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise as we finish up today.